Well, the chapter we just read for the scripture reading is obviously the best Mother's Day text, but we can't do it every year, year after year after year, Proverbs 31, so we will put that aside. It is a poem, letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Two Bible books have come down, named for women, Esther and Ruth. Hannah and Mary would make good Mother's Day sermons also, but as far as the whole books go, there's Esther and Ruth. We will look at Ruth. She has five good character traits. Esther can't tell whether she was a mother, married to the Persian king, but can't tell she was a mother. So we'll look at her character traits of Ruth. But in order to get the time period, we'd like to look at Book of Judges, the very last book of the Book of Judges. And then the next will be Ruth. But Judges 21, and the final verse is 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. They hadn't had Saul and David and no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Could think in some ways the United States has declined a little bit in the last few generations. Still many believers in it. 50-50, pushing both directions. But even now, the country is better than the Roman Empire. And we are better than the days of the judges and the days of Ruth. I think if we just looked at the book of Ruth, we would say, I don't know about world conditions. Maybe it wasn't that bad because she's going to be a good example. But in the book of Ruth, in the days of judges, there were all kinds of things which we're not going to make a Mother's Day sermon about. Like raping and murdering a woman and chopping her up and sending her all around the country. That's just a few chapters before the end of Judges. Or in the story, the kidnappers took all these girls and gave them to the men of Benjamin, and there were not enough, so they went to a dancing party and stole 200 more. That's sufficient for the bad time period, but everyone is doing what is right in his own eyes. That's kind of what life was like in the story of Ruth. So when we shortly read about all her good characteristics and read about the story, this was her time period. Let me review the whole story, and then we will look at her character traits. This took place in the days of the judges that we just said, and there was a famine. And so a mother and father and two adult men go to Moab. That's to the east of Israel. The boys married these Moabite women. Orpah was one of them. And the other one was Ruth. 10 years later, they're all three are widows. Since the famine in Bethlehem had stopped, they go back to Bethlehem. The two daughter-in-laws follow her down the road for a while, and she told them they can go back, go and return to your own family, and go and return to your own gods. Well, the one goes back, but Ruth says she will follow her. So she goes to Israel out of Moab, which we'd say Jordan today. She goes to live in Israel in the town of Bethlehem. They were still poor. The law prohibited going through a field twice. You could keep going through a field over and over again and pick up all the grain, but it prohibited going through it twice. And they had to leave the corners of the fields. And it was so that there would be things that remain, and anybody who wanted it could get it. All the poor people could go get it. She's going to go get some. And Boaz will tell his workers, you drop stalks in the field so she can get extra. She will take home an ephah, which is 3/5 of a bushel, I would say 35 or 40 pounds, which would make a lot of bread. Many references to the word blessed in this book. One Hebrew word for blessed means happy. We did that when we did Psalm chapter 1 in the Sunday school hour. Blessed are those who do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We'll be happier if we don't listen to ungodly people, or especially the scoffers of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. We'll be happier. That's that one word. This is not the one here in the book of Ruth. This one is blessed in the book of Ruth. And we get Barak from it. Comes down in names. And blessed are many benefits, many good gifts, and Ruth has blessings over and over in here. She gets home for the grain. Naomi tells her about the field she worked in, just happened to be Boaz. And Naomi says, well, you go back to that place day after day after day and keep getting more until the harvest is all over with. So she returns, and after the harvest is over with, the mother-in-law will tell her, you get cleaned up and you put on your best clothes and you go out there after they have their harvest party. Now, she didn't walk around the party before it was dark so that he knew she was there. He waited until it was dark, and he fell asleep. And he was supposed to take the blanket off his feet, so sometime he would wake up. And he can't see who is there, but somebody is laying crossways at his feet. And he asks, who are you? And Ruth 3:9, she says, I am Ruth. Cover me, which means protect me, take care of me, for you are a close relative. Now, you are a redeemer. Goel is the Hebrew word for redeemer. He was related to her deceased husband, and he could buy up the forfeited fields that they had lost. And when they had the famine and had to move away to Moab, he could buy up those fields. And when the family returned to Bethlehem, he could buy up the fields, except there was one more relative that was closer. So getting near the close of the book of Ruth, he went to town and he talked with the relative who was closer, who had a right to buy the fields. But then he was to marry the widow. And Boaz said that he would rather do that, and kind of an odd custom, he gave him his shoe, which that didn't come down. He gave him his shoe, and all the witnesses in the Bethlehem gate said they have made this promise that he can marry Ruth and he can buy up these fields. They got married, and then she will become a mother and ends up being great-grandmother of King David. So that's related to Bethlehem also, and that kind of fits in the timing of the book of Ruth. Obed, Jesse, David. Boaz and Ruth got married. Obed, Jesse, David. Ruth is mentioned in the life of Jesus story of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 1:5 is the only reference to Ruth in the New Testament, and there are four other grandmothers that are mentioned. So now we will look at her character traits. And the first character trait, if you will turn to Ruth chapter 1, the first character trait is she was very loyal. Loyal, loving kindness. So let's read Ruth chapter 1. And we could start it at verse 15, but I'm going to do verse 14 through 18. Ruth 1, 14 through 18. And they lift up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has come back to her people and her gods." Go back to your family there and go back to your old religion. "Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that Ruth, she was determined to go with her, she said no more. I included verse 14 because it had this strange word cling in it, sticking. It's actually used in parts of the Bible of skin and bones. They're not quite the same, but they're kind of together. Cling, cling, cling. It's used in the Garden of Eden of marriage. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And I wanted to check if that's the same word. It actually is the same word. Well, it's used of marriage, but also of these other relatives, in this case, in-laws. Where you go, I will go. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. It's common for Jewish wedding rings to have this on it. Years ago, when James Avery had them, I got one. I don't use it all the time, but I kind of liked where you go, I will go, in Ruth chapter 1 on that wedding ring. And the silver one didn't cost that much, so I went ahead and got one. I will go with you, and I will be loyal to your family, and I will be loyal to your God and not go back to the old gods. And I don't want to talk about the old gods of Moab too much. They were bad. Even had child sacrifice. So loyalty to family and loyalty to God, and dump the old religion. I don't know how many listeners might have been part of a different religion. Usually in America, we either grew up in Christian homes or nothing. It's usually not a complete conversion from another religion, but she completely converted from a false religion. So we can say she was loyal to the true God, loyal to her family. Next, she has a strong work ethic. And we might think that's declining in America, but I think in the center of the country, we all still have a strong work ethic. We're not exactly in the country, but might call it the country people work ethic, which she has, and that's in chapter 2. We'll look at verses 2 and 3, her work ethic. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go into the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. That's one of the husbands who has died, and kind of distant cousins. There were limits. You had to have further away cousins. It's limited in the book of Deuteronomy. But she follows, loyal to her family. And then it's kind of like, I'm going to get up and go to work. Work ethic. I will pick the barley as the law of Israel allowed. In the book of Moses, allowed. Positively, work ethic. We could also say it a different way. She was not a quitter. And not envious of other people who already had more. Kind of like, why do they have things and I don't have things? She didn't do that. It was kind of like, here is a need. I'm going to get up and have a work ethic. The New Testament word is a overcomer, a person that will overcome adversity and work real hard. Well, picking up the grain, it's kind of hard to do that dawn to dusk. We obviously had combines, so didn't have to bend over and pick up the grain. It's still kind of hard to drive a combine all day, dawn to dusk. But even now, bending over and picking up cucumbers, bending over and picking up strawberries, kind of hard work. You can see how hard that was for her. We never had to pick grain except one time the wind blew over the corn stalks and the snow fell on them. So the corn picker couldn't go through it. Now, I would just give up, but my grandpa, and I thought about how old he was, 73. I'm 68, so he's 5 years older than I am. See that cornfield over there? It wasn't his or ours. It was the neighbor's. He says we can go pick up all that corn. So Friday, Saturday, we picked up corn all the time. And I think we made a couple $100. It's just that hard work. Hard work doing it the old way. So of Ruth's characteristics, number one, loyal to her family. Loyal to the true God. Where you go, I will go. Number two, work ethic. Let me get up and go to the field. The third one is she looked to God for protection. That will be the words of Boaz, and it will be verses 11 and 12. We'll come back earlier in a minute, but she looked to God for protection. So let's go ahead and read verses 11 and 12. Boaz answered and said to her, "All you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and mother." See, they're still alive. "You left your father and mother in the land of your birth," and we could say your false religion, "and came to a people you did not previously know. May the Lord reward you for your work, and your wages be full from the God of Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." That's the part I want to stress. She went to God for protection. Now, very often, and we're doing psalms in the Sunday school service, we have a refuge, like a storm shelter, a refuge like a fort. Here we have under these wings. Kind of like a mother bird taking care of baby bird, except it's a reference to we are like babies, and God is like a mother, and he will take care of us. Exodus 19:4, "Has I covered you with eagle's wings?" Proverbs 91:4, "He will cover you with his feathers. Upon his wings you will trust." Well, there are more eagles in the Old Testament, chickens. Jesus refers to the mother chicken taking care of the baby chicken, but there weren't chickens in the Old Testament in Israel, but they came about 500. So by Jesus' time, it was chickens. Matthew 23:37 said he would take care of Jerusalem like a mother hen took care of the baby chicks under its wings. So Ruth wanted spiritual protection from the true God and turned to the God, and God will give her protection. Number one, she was loyal to her family and to God. Number two, she had a strong work ethic and would not quit. And number three, she would go to God for protection. Also, she was very flexible. Now, I didn't pick one exact verse, but the whole story, so she's very flexible. God does not change, but life changes all the time. And things for Ruth changed all the time. God does not change. I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lots of verses on the Bible not changing. Oldest ones, Isaiah 40, verse 8, but Matthew 24:35, quoted by Peter, 1 Peter 1:25, heaven and earth shall pass away, my words will not pass away. God will not change, the Bible will not change, the promises will not change, but life changes all the time. We tend to not change as much, and members of the church tend to not change very often, once in a while, but not too often. So I think it's kind of funny that people that grew up in Amarillo and went away for work, when they retire, they sometimes come back. We tend to be people that don't want to change. But life changes a lot. Can change moving. She had to move. She had to become a widow. The worst and biggest change. So, had to change jobs also. God does not change, but the world changes. And Ruth was very stable in her beliefs. She did not change her beliefs, even though life changes all the time. She was very humble and didn't have real unrealistic expectations of what would happen. Now that's verse 10, so we kind of go backwards. We've already read verses 11 and 12 of Ruth 2, but verse 10, very humble in verse 10. Let's read that. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Talk about humble and not having unrealistic expectations. Why should you take notice of me? Well, people don't talk like that now. People like that now always want attention. People now want, I should be giving things, and you should be giving attention to me. Fussy and snobby. And Ruth is the exact opposite. So was another lady in the Bible. This is 2 Kings 4. She's called a Shunammite woman. That's the name of her town. We don't know her name, but in 2 Kings chapter 4, this lady gave the prophet Elisha an apartment. It says a furnished room, bed, table, chair, lampstand, everything you could in those days. And Elisha asked, "Would you like me to tell the king about you? Would you like me to tell the generals about you?" He knew everybody, and she said, "I live among my own people." So that's the Shunammite woman. She was the same thing. Very humble, not fussy, not given to attention. And that's the Shunammite woman, same way with Ruth. Examples of humility. Now, humility doesn't mean you think you can't do anything, but humility means God is more important. And humility means you'll think about other people first. So let me review her characteristics, because she was a mother. Book of the Bible is named after her, and she has all these good characteristics. Number one, she was loyal to God and to her family. Where you go, I will go. and I'm not going back to the false religion. Loyal to her family. Number two, she has a work ethic. Please let me go to the field. Ruth 2:2. Going to do something about this. Number three, she went to God for protection. Under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Going to God for protection. Number four, flexible in life's changes. God never changes, but life changes all the time. And she kept trusting in God, and she would not change her faith in God, even though all these changes in life. She was humble. Smaller expectations and very limited demands. Why should you take notice of me? Kind of goes along with her work ethic. Just humble and work real hard. I do agree, Proverbs 31 is probably a better Mother's Day. And we will wait for it one of these days. And it's been long enough. We'll go through Proverbs 31 again in that poem about mothers. But Proverbs 31 refers to a virtuous woman, or sometimes translated a woman of excellence. Well, that's the same thing that's referred to in Ruth. It's Ruth 3:11. And in Ruth 3:11, Boaz says, "All the people of this city know you are a woman of excellence," or "you are a woman of virtue." So in order of the Bible, she already was a woman of excellence, a woman of virtue, a couple of centuries before they wrote Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 says they're rare, but already had this story of Ruth and her characteristics. Will the musicians please come?